Good morning, everybody. I will call the Dallas City Council agenda meeting to order on May 10th, 2017 at 9:09 a.m. We will begin with an invocation, and Mr. Wilson will lead us in Pledge of Allegiance. Our invocator this morning is Reverend Stephen Bierschenk of St. Monica Catholic Church, which Ms. Alonzo will tell you it is in her district and not in Ms. Gates' district, but it's right there on the border of it. It's a great church. Father Stephen was born in Fort Worth and grew up in Weatherford, Texas, where he attended public school. He attended Holy Trinity Seminary and the University of Dallas. He has been the priest for 40 years and has served as pastor of St. Monica for the past 8 years. He enjoys leading such a large and diverse community as St. Monica, a very important church in our community, and it is always busy on the weekend. It's great to have you here. Thank you so much. All rise.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us the privilege of living in such a wonderful and diverse city as Dallas. We ask you to bless these men and women who have committed themselves to serving our community and have been chosen by our citizens. We ask you to fill this meeting with your love. Guide these men and women with your wisdom so that their decisions will be for all our people. Fill their hearts with gentleness and goodness. Help each of us as citizens of Dallas to be committed to being sure that the wonderful opportunities and resources you have given us will be used to serve the least among us, those in need, and those who do not know yet their way. We thank you for the opportunities we have in this wonderful city. May we continue to accomplish great things for you, for you are the Father of all and love all, and challenge us to imitate you in our care and service to each other. Amen. To the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Father, for coming, and we really appreciate everything that you do. And I don't know if y'all know about St. Monica's, but it was so big that they had to make another church, and then they went to San Juan Diego. So there's still that family, and so we wanted to thank you very much for coming. And Mr. Mayor, if I may, I wanted to thank all my colleagues for participating in the Cinco de Mayo event that we had last Friday. I greatly appreciate it, and thanks to ACED for putting that together as well. But today is May 10th, Mr. Mayor, and in Spanish is Diez de Mayo. Diez de Mayo is considered in Mexico Día de las Madres, and there's a lot of Americans of Mexican descent, so I wanted to say Feliz Día de las Madres para todas las madres, to all the moms that are Americans of Mexican descent, that have Mexican descent, so I wanted to say Feliz Día de las Madres to each and every one. Even though we're going to have Mother's Day on Sunday, but Día de las Madres is always celebrated no matter what day it falls on, el 10 de mayo. And, Mr. Mayor, the 10th of May, the graduations are beginning for colleges and universities, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to my daughter who graduates today from Mountain View College and then from Early College High School. So I wanted to say I'm very proud of her. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You always are. She's a great lady. Thank you. Ms. Gates has got going to say a few words about an important week this week.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to recognize that this week is National Travel and Tourism Week. I serve on the CVB with our chair, Monica Alonzo, Mayor Pro Tem. And I want to just welcome all the visitors to the City of Dallas and hope that people take advantage of the museums, the sites, the events, the parks, and everything that makes Dallas so unique and so great. Travel is not only good for us, for the travelers who get to enjoy our city, but I think it's a great time to recognize that in 2015, 25.7 million visitors to the Dallas spent $4.4 billion, creating a $7.6 billion impact, economic impact to our city. Tourism has also generated tax revenues of $532 million in state and local governments, which offsets the average household tax burden by just over $1,100. And the city of Dallas, 1 in 20 jobs are related to travel and tourism. I just want to thank Visit Dallas and their efforts in promoting National Travel and Tourism Week. And if we have any visitors in the audience, welcome. Citizens in Dallas, help me welcome, if anybody, any of the visitors, doubt that the visitors are listening to us, but if anybody's listening, we just a big welcome from the city of Dallas and from our council. And thank you, Visit Dallas, for making, participating and promoting our city. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our morning speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our first five registered speakers are David Johnson, Henry Williams, Dolores Phillips, Albert Gary, and Bobby Shepherd. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the session. Individuals have 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice a timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You should state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. If you propose to hand out any material, please go ahead and give them to our officer. As attempting to distribute them after your name has been called does affect your 3 minute speaking time. Again, your first speaker is David Johnson. Mr. Johnson is not present. Henry Williams. Not present. Dolores Phillips. Ms. Phillips will be followed by Albert Gary, Bobby Shepherd, and Saeed Hamza.
Good morning. My name is Dolores Phillips. Address is going to be 4271 Altoona, Dallas, Texas, 75233. On last Tuesday, immediately after leaving the commissioner's court after I spoke, I went to early vote at the George Allen building on the first floor. Only two districts were on the ballot. That was District Dallas County City Council District 3 with Casey Thomas and Joe Tave or Tav, and also Dallas ISD District 6 with Joyce Foreman and Felicia Taylor. If early voting is about putting only some candidates on the ballot, I apologize for saying that the votes were sabotaged. But when I voted, it was only those two districts on the early voting ballot. I will be making a complaint, and if it wasn't supposed to be like that, I will be asking and seeking for a thorough microscopic investigation as to the voter sabotaging here in Dallas. Also, I would like to say, regardless of the past, present, and ongoing repercussions, I want to speak about why I was unlawfully detained and arrested and taken to Green Oaks. It's because I refused then, I refuse now to open. We were talking about a cover-up that continues to be a massive cover-up. That's why umpteen officers have left DPD. That's why DPD is looking for officers. And I need to share with you something. It's me because it was meant to be me. Any woman, man, heterosexual, LGBT, queer, it doesn't matter. No means no. How you intertwine, open up, get the key with corruption is it is in itself systematic injustice, meaning a collaborative effort between non-minorities, minorities, and women alike beyond the sexuality, gender, and religion, coming together in the name of unity, dehumanizing humanity, throwing each other under the bus in the name of unity while continuing systemic injustices. You've never seen in America's history a time where non-minorities threw non-minorities under the bus like America is now. You have Comey, you have others literally being the scapegoats to the most massive corruption committed by America in America's history. I'm not worried about the repercussions. I'm not afraid to live, and I'm not afraid to transition. I have 35 seconds. This is what I need you to know. Before I was conceived in the womb, the Lord knew that I would be a straight heterosexual. I was created and born to be a straight heterosexual. I don't intertwine myself on an intimate basis with females. I stand my grounds on that. I'm not afraid to sit on the court of law under sworn oath to say your deceptively brilliant smoke screens to cover up your massive cover up. The reason the city manager is now gone, Warren Ernst. Who is the other guy? A lot of people have retired, none coincidentally, to this massive cover up. Since the new special agent in charge, I've already been to FBI again. I will go again.
Thank you.
Your next speaker.
Mr. Mayor.
I'm sorry, Mr. Thomas.
All right. Before you leave, Dolores, what I wanted to inform you is on this particular ballot, those are the only two races. So that was accurate. So city council and school board for those two areas. Those are the only two races.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Thank you.
Thank you for coming down.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Albert Gary. Mr. Gary will be followed by Bobby Shepherd and Saeed Hamza.
Good morning. My address is 8303 East Oriel Thornton, Dallas, Texas, 75227, number 212. Hello, my name is Albert J. Gary, and the reason I'm here today as a citizen speaker is to share information about a GoFundMe campaign I'm organizing. A little about myself. In 1983, after I was out of the Marines Reserve, I launched a proactive student achievement program in Houston, Texas. Next, after spending 10 years working with the Department of Defense, I tried again by becoming a State of Texas certified director and operated a child care facility here in Dallas from 1992 to 2012 with the goal of providing accurate information to our youth to use as they decide their daily activities for school and at home. Now in 2017, I was selected to participate in this very interesting community project. Because of my mission to create an organization that always provides verifiable information to our youth, I had a difficult time believing that there may be loopholes in our criminal justice system. As I have no experience with the court system, I was provided a copy of a January 11, 2017 newspaper article titled Butler County Evidence Video Edited, Manipulated After 2016 Trial. Afterwards, I wanted to know if this could be possible. Many families can be destroyed when jury members are being tasked with using unverified information as evidence to decide the faith of others. I refuse to believe that this is possible in our 21st century. I have asked several attorneys for the normal process used to decide if evidence is acceptable for use to take a case to court. It appears to be a judgment call. As there are different forms of workplace abuse, jury members are not being informed enough and are being abused and taken advantage of without knowing it. Over the years of learning, I was taught at one company that it's okay to be upset when you recognize that aggressive bullying takes place at all levels of society, and it is okay to offer a solution that may help other people. In school, many children commit suicide as a result of bullying. After high school, bullying is more sophisticated and challenging. In the workforce, adults commit domestic violence offenses and suicide. In the criminal justice system, edited, manipulated evidence places innocent victims inside a trap box society that lasts a lifetime, simply because jury members of being given unverified data to be used as evidence. My campaign is seeking donations from donors to hire a team of professional attorneys to take a closer look at current procedures to determine if additional steps are required.
Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
We have had cancellation, so your final speaker this morning, and actually for the day in the open microphone category, are Bobby Shepherd. Bobby Shepherd? Coming forward. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good morning, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Bobby Shepherd, and I am a homeowner at 918 Highfall Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75232, in the Oakland Terrace edition of Oak Cliff. My husband and I have lived there since 1983, over 34 years. My concerns today about the conditions of my community in District 3. Our community has continued to be overlooked, neglected, due in part to lack of code enforcement and compliance by past and present City Council members of District 3. In our community, we have dilapidated supposedly convenience stores, which are selling drug paraphernalia, single cigarettes, have gambling machines, thugs, crackheads, homeless people hanging around outside begging for money. The conditions of these buildings and their landscape are an eyesore, just downright deplorable and unsafe. Driving south on I-35 R.L. Thornton Freeway and exiting at Camp Wisdom Road, turn right at 300 West Camp Wisdom, and from that corner all the way down to the 1100 block of Camp Wisdom, where it intersects with 7100 South Polk, is an eyesore. Camp Wisdom Road is a major thoroughfare that has six lanes, three lanes going east, three lanes going west. So, Mayor Rawlings, I have four questions to ask you. Why can't we have some beautifications applied to our community? Number two, why can't we have a 7-Eleven? Number three, why can't we have a decent service station such as a QT or a racetrack? Number four, why can't we have a nice, clean, decent grocery store to shop at instead of an inferior store such as Cash Savers? Plus, these stores are only in the minority neighborhoods, and I've yet to see one in the southern sector of Dallas. Mayor, no city council member for District 3 has fulfilled their civic elected duties such as going out and canvassing the various communities to see how they can contribute to improving and making our community safe and clean and beautiful again. In closing, Dwayne Carraway is the only city member in the southern sector that has really made a powerful impact with a hands-on approach, restoring and beautifying his district.
Thank you.
I commend Mr. Carraway.
Thank you.
And I challenge other city council members to step up to the plate and represent your community.
Thank you.
Mr. Thomas.
Thank you. Ms. Shepherd, thank you for coming down. I have Chris, my assistant, right here. I'm going to have Chris to get with you so we can set up a meeting. So meeting in your neighborhood so I can have you to meet with the owner of the shopping center so he can show you the plans he has for redeveloping the shopping center. He just hasn't made them public yet. So if you'll just see Chris right there, raise your hand, Chris, and we'll set up a time. No, he'll come to you. And if you wait right there, we don't want him to have to climb the stairs, but if you wait right there, Chris will come around and we'll set up a meeting possible next week where we can show you some plans that we have for the neighborhood. We also did a code sweep over there where people were actually ticketed.
Thank you.
For code violations. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you. Next speaker.
No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. We'll take up item one.
Agenda item number one is approval of minutes of the April 19, 2017 City Council meeting.
Do we have a motion and a second? Any edits, discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to your consent agenda, which consists of agenda items number 2 through 22, and there is no addendum consent. There were no items pulled for individual consideration. Therefore, your consent agenda for adoption are agenda items number 2 through 22. Yes, agenda items 2 through 22.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We go now to agenda item number 23, which is your first individual item, and that is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. For individual appointment to the Cultural Affairs Commission, you have Henry K. Song, nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, and he meets the Volunteer Cultural Board Experience qualification. To the Municipal Library Board, Linda Neal is also nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo. Those are your nominees this morning.
Thank you. We have motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 24 is authorize a two-year service contract to administer a workforce readiness placement and retention program to provide career pathways training with Transformance, Inc. in the amount of $375,000, Christian Transformation Foundation, DBA Serve West Dallas, in the amount of $375,000, City Square in the amount of $375,000, and Dallas Area Habitat for Humanity in the amount of $375. Most advantageous proposers of 9. We do have 3 registered speakers. They will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. Stay to the topic and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Your first speaker is Scott Hansen. Shadariel Cleveland and Daniel Prescott will follow.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Manager, and City Council members. I'm Scott Hansen, and I live at 8226 Old Moss Road, District 10, zip code 75231. I am here representing one of the recommended recipients of this grant, and I'm the executive director of Serve West Dallas, working in the area as you would identify by the name. We began in 2015 in response to this document that many of you are probably familiar with. It came out with J.P. Morgan Chase, looking at the middle skills gap over the next 30 years in the city. And we also knew that in our community, among our young adults, there's a difficulty and a gap in terms of getting them beyond a McDonald's or just an hourly job into a job that would lead to a career. Thus, this program started. We formed a collaboration of 12 organizations, which is a cross-sector of organizations to the city, DISD, United Way, actually Anthem Strong Families, and DCCD, El Centro, Mercy Street, Voice of Hope, all working together to bring this program about in West Dallas. And our key partner in this is the employer, Baylor Scott & White, starting out with their flagship organization. Our first group that we just graduated and we started in December are now working as patient care techs at BUMSI. And this was a pre-pilot to what we hope will be a two-year pilot to bring a lot more youth, not only in West Dallas, young adults in West Dallas, but to the footprint and regional footprint of Baylor Scott & White. It's a unique approach in that there's something that seems to be missing in a lot of our workforce development programs, because today, if you really know the nature of poverty, that there's a piece that's missing that many of us here had that many of these young adults don't have, and that is the support of family. So you have a family support system that is missing. So you have to address that. And the way we're addressing it with the employer is we've built in through our program case management that works with each one of our individuals. Then we train the supervisors over these individuals, and we provide a mentor. The employer provides a mentor to work with each one of these young adults to make sure that they're advancing. Our group that started has already achieved their first stackable credential in working with DCCD El Centro, thanks to one of the councilmen here. And we're really, really grateful for the progress that you and the interest that you as a group have shown in the nature of poverty in this community and what difference does it make. It's a big difference. So thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Your next speaker, Shadariel Cleveland. Ms. Cleveland will be followed by Daniel Prescott.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Shadaria Cleveland. I reside at 1810 Calypso Street, Dallas, Texas, 75212. I am a fellow from the West Dallas Pathways Program, and I am currently employed with Baylor Scott & White. I was afforded this opportunity with this program we are now speaking about, and I am more than beyond liberated because I've gone to school in a nursing path. I did not finish, so when I came home, my biggest thing was to get back into school, get back into the career field, do anything possible. So with this program, it has definitely given me the chance to do what I want to do, but it was also given to me with training, certification, support, all of what you can name. It was also all given to us for us to be successful in this program. And the impact that this program has made on my fellows, a lot of them did not ever want to be anything near close to healthcare. A lot of them had no idea of what it would take. This program literally put all of us in the position to where we could go anywhere we want and feel confident that we can come, do the job you want us to do, take care of anybody we need to, and do it with a smile on our face. We were given case managers. The support system was probably the most important thing of all, because many people had things going on at home. People have children they have to look after. The program, in a nutshell, gave everyone of every different demographic an open, honest opportunity to come in, go into the job. We were trained to do it. They gave us everything we needed, to scrubs, to prayer, to mentors, to every single thing. Everything was given to us. That, for my community of West Dallas, could be very impactful, because a lot of people want to go and do what I'm doing right now, but they do not have the resources. They are uneducated into where they can go get the resources, and they also do not have the proper support. So, this program touched a lot of different bases, and for it to be so impersonal, for them to come in and make it very personal, I appreciate that. And I also get many comments from where I am working right now in oncology for Pickens. I get many, many comments of, we thank you, we appreciate you. They need a smiling face, and I enjoy it. It liberates me. So, in conclusion, Honorable Mayor Rawling and City Council, I am asking that you all please consider putting this into something you all would love to be a part of, because I would love to see many generations behind me be a part. Are there any questions?
You did good. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Your final speaker is Daniel Prescott.
Okay, follow that.
Good morning, mayors, city manager, council members. Daniel Prescott, 8737 King George Drive. I am the president and CEO of Transformance. I'm speaking on behalf of our agency and the fellow recipients who could be possibly awarded this grant. There has been some confusion on who Transformance is. Prior to our name change in 2016, we were Consumer Credit Counseling of Greater Dallas for 43 years. For 43 years, we've served the city of Dallas. We also serve in 16 other states, and we have 4 offices in Texas, in Dallas, Arlington, Amarillo, and Austin. 2016, we touched 8,000 unduplicated clients and 158,000 touches to those clients. We come to you, to the council, and to you today to talk about CLASP, Career Ladder Advancing Single Parents. Based on the J.P. Morgan study, our proposal is to put single parents to work working for Amazon.com in warehouse logistics. What's unique about this program is we partner with Inspiring Tomorrow's Leaders, 10 years in this field, Services of Hope, 15 years in social services and wraparound. We've talked about Transformance, but our employer is Amazon.com, one of the largest corporations in America. Ours is a certificate program which has a 3-step career ladder. This program was piloted in 2016 with GameStop, in which 15 successful candidates graduated from our program. 12 are employed at GameStop in warehouse logistics. Warehouse logistics is a three-step process in which one, entry level, $15 an hour, and you're a forklift driver, multi-certified. Then two, you move to a warehouse manager, warehouse logistics. And three, you move to a $100,000 plus a year job. We believe that this program will move families from poverty to self-sufficiency. And what makes us unique, we're all in one building, a 35,000 square foot training facility in Councilman Medrano's district and in Councilman Gates' district. We have training space, we have operating space, and case management. We're bilingual. If I'd ask my staff to stand very quickly, you see single parents, you see the people that we want to work with. We purposely have designed our staff to do this. We currently have three other young ladies in our program who are working through becoming case counselors. This program has been vetted, it has been put into place, and has been proven in last year. So 45 years of successful work here in Dallas, just a name change. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Your final speaker, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan, entertain a motion.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I move approval on item 24.
Thank you. Discussion, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I want to thank you for entrusting me to lead workforce for the city of Dallas. Secondly, I want to thank my colleagues for supporting me last month when we requested deferral of this item. Then I also want to thank Venus Cobb with the Office of Economic Development, who played a critical role in not only laying the foundation and then incorporating something that's really critical into this process. One is outreach. Oftentimes we have a lot of job training programs, but they're not getting information into the areas of the greatest need. And so outreach component was a critical part of the RFP for those who applied. And then case management, as was stated by several of those who were here, case management. Oftentimes we have individuals who've been out of work for an extended amount of time and they need someone who can give them that tough love and encouragement to make sure that they stick to it and are successful. As been stated a couple of times, J.P. Morgan Chase briefing that we received was critical in informing some of us and reminding others about this great need that exists in terms of all these middle skill jobs, specifically in IT and healthcare. And so I'm proud and excited as we're at this point, after a year of engaging in developing this particular initiative, the first one in the history of the city of Dallas to do a workforce development program that provide funding for organizations. If by deferring it a month, it allowed those who came to stand up and speak and tell your story, nobody would have had a chance to hear that story if you wouldn't have came and told your story today. And so I've had an opportunity to do due diligence and do the research and to make sure not only these organizations but other organizations had a very solid plan, and we expect to see great results from this. We know it's a reimbursement grant, so the expectation, you've already began, and some of you said you've already began the process of having those participants earn their certification and moving up. This summer, I was just sharing with my left-hand man here, this summer I plan to host a career fair, and I'm going to invite not only the organizations who've been recommended, but all organizations who applied to come out, because we're going to have a lot of young people who are going to graduate high school and not have intentions of going to college or not even know the day that they walk across the stage what their next step is. And so when you have a program where you have an opportunity for individuals who just have a high school diploma, maybe some have a GED, may not know what direction they want to go in, but have employer partners who are committed. And that was the most important part of this, next to outreach, is having employers who are committed to support those these programs, the community-based organizations, once these individuals completed the program, having an opportunity to interview and be hired. Some, as they go through the program, hired full-time and have an opportunity to move up and fulfill some of these middle-skill jobs. We have a lot of people who are working entry-level jobs and they're stuck there. That ladder is invisible for them. But through this opportunity, they have a chance to move into get extended training, to move into middle-skill jobs, to be able to provide for their family. And council, we don't often have an opportunity to do things that really changes a person's life, but this initiative here will absolutely not only change, have opportunity to change people's lives, but change people's lives for generations. We have some individuals who have two generation models, which while the child is in daycare or in pre-K, the parent is getting additional training. That way the family moves up. That way we can break these generational cycles. And each organization has to be committed to going to the highest need areas here in the city of Dallas. And so I'm looking forward to moving this along. I will be supporting this. And I ask colleagues, let's reach out to these organizations. Let's hold them accountable. They say they're going to go into the highest needs areas. We know Dallas, unfortunately, leads the nation in child poverty. But we're working. This is a way that we can address that. So I'm proud and I'm happy and I look forward to meeting some of you. Reached out to me and I said I'll get back with you. But we wanted to begin this process and get through this process. So I look forward to sitting down with each one of you and inviting you to that career fair that we're going to have. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm excited about these programs, but I have a severe concern based on what I've heard that there's a potential establishment clause problem here. Is any of this money being expended for religious purposes?
Not to my knowledge, Mr. Kingston. It's not part of this program.
Well, that seems at odds with a couple of comments that the speakers made this morning.
I'm sorry?
How do we ensure that we do not violate Section 7 of the Texas Constitution and the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution? Do we have safeguards in place that ensure that city money will not be spent on religious purposes?
I don't have an answer for that, Mr. Kingston.
Councilman Jeff Chestnut from the City Attorney's Office. We do have, to ensure your concerns are met, there are clauses in the contracts requiring that none of the services the contractor renders under any of these contracts will require participants to either participate in religious activity, and none of the funds will be used for religious activity, and that's in the contract.
Perfect answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I just want to give kudos to my Vice Chair of Economic Development, Mr. Casey Thomas. He has taken this program of skill training, and he's made it his own. I think he's done a great job with it. You can see the passion that is ringing through. And this is something that has long been needed, and I think he's spot on in his comments. But some people are just not going to go to college, or they may not even go to trade school. But this gives them an opportunity to get the skill training that they need to advance their income at an early age. Many of these kids that come out of high school, they're kind of stuck in jobs that are, you know, $8, $9, $10 an hour, and there's really no place to go up. This is such a game changer when you can elevate yourself and exit these programs making somewhere in the neighborhood of $17 an hour. That's very meaningful. That's doubling your income. So it gives these people a more than a living wage. It gives them a great anchor, a good start. It also could provide an opportunity for those that are going to college to seek a level of employment to work their way through college and go part-time. So that's another angle. So I'm excited about this. We do certainly have an issue with systemic poverty in Dallas. We can't continue to wring our hands. We've got to do something that is structural, that's going to really make a difference in the lives of the people that we represent. So I hope to see not only success in this program, but more and more replicable programs like this, so we can really ramp up to take care of the great needs. He represents the Southern Dallas District, as do I, and we owe it to the people that live there to give them every beneficial opportunity to improve their lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wanted to also give kudos and state to Mr. Thomas that we look forward to following up with him and making sure he knows what's going on. I think I want to recognize Pastor Arbor Wilson, who is working with Mr. Hansen and Ms. Lexi, because I think it's very important for everyone to know, if anybody knows about what's going on in that neighborhood, is him. And not only does he know, but he lives and he's experienced everything that's been going on and the transitions that have been happening. So thank you very much for not only that support, but also I am very involved in the Catholic Church, and I hope that that doesn't affect us by voting for it. Thank you very much for that support. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Just want to add, Scott, thank you for the work, your life calling on this. Thank you, Pastor Wilson, for what you've done. I mean, it's a remarkable, remarkable story. Thank you, Councilman Thomas, for helping us on this issue. We've got a lot of work to do. You mentioned some programs. We got a lot of programs going on, so we'll double down. I'm glad you're sitting next to Mr. Clayton, because this is an important issue for him. That end of the table can help us. So thank you. We'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you.
Agenda item number 25 is authorized number 1, approval of the development plan submitted to the Dallas Housing Acquisition and Development Corporation by KW New Vision Properties and Land, Inc. for the construction of houses. Number 2, the sale of 2 vacant lots from Dallas Housing Acquisition and Development Corporation to KW New Vision Properties and Land, Inc. And number 3, execution of a release of lien for any non-tax liens on the 2 properties that may have been filed by the city.
Thank you, Ms. Young. We got a motion and a second. I'll speak for Ms. Young. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 26 is an ordinance granting a private license to AERC Turtle Creek LLC for the use of approximately 7,086 square feet of land to occupy, maintain, and utilize 9 private street lights, 3 tree up lights, and 23 trees on a portion of Hood and Brown Street rights of way located near the intersection of Hood and Brown Streets.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan, entertain a motion.
I move approval, Mayor.
Second.
We got a motion and a second. Mr. Kingston. No discussion? Mr. Callahan, any discussion?
No, sir.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move to agenda item 27 and 28, which need to be considered collectively. The following applies to these 2 items. By making and seconding the motions the council members represent, they have undertaken a sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, for adoption, the item would require 2 seconds. Agenda item 27 is authorized number 1, a management and operating agreement with Center Operating Company LP, the American Airlines Center Arena operator, for the management and operation of the city-owned North Parking Garage, Silver Garage, addressed as 2503 Victory Avenue, as a public parking garage and arena event parking for a term concurrent with the arena lease. And number 2, a grant to Center Operating Company LP in an amount not to exceed $1,521,114 as consideration from increment accruing to tax increment financing reinvestment zone 7, Sports Arena, TIF District, Victory Subdistrict. Agenda item 28 is authorized number one, the establishment of appropriations in the Sports Arena TIF North Parking Garage Fund in an amount not to exceed $200,000 to fund capital expenditures for the North Parking Garage. Number two, this receipt and deposit in the account all of the city's share of revenue generated by the Silver Garage from Center Operating Company LP for the term of the management agreement. Number three, dedication of monthly parking revenue received by the Sports Arena TIF District Victory Subdistrict as a source for annual payments to the account. And number four, a one-time payment of $200,000 to the account on or before December 31, 2019. Again, 2 seconds for adoption.
Thank you, Ms. Callahan.
Mayor, I move approval of items 27, 28 collectively.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to addendum item number one, a resolution supporting a permanent fix to the
I'm going to ask for this to be heard first thing in the afternoon.
Shall I go ahead and read it?
No. We'll just do it. We'll read it first thing in the afternoon.
Thank you. Addendum item two is a resolution removing Richard E. Carrizales from the Dallas Area Rapid Transit DART Board, position 01. There is a correction that's needed. The five-signature memo that was circulated on this, the fifth signatory was Councilmember Clayton, not Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to move approval of the removal of Mr. Carrizales effective immediately.
Second. Thank you. Discussion, Ms. Grayson?
Thank you. This vote today is about taking the opportunity to provide strong new leadership on our Dallas delegation to the DART Board. It is not, as Mr. Kleinman has so wrongly stated, a mean-spirited, vengeful reaction to last October's vote. For me, though, it is a reaction to what I saw and heard last fall in the run-up to that vote. I went to a number of DART Board and committee meetings in September and October. What I saw were Dallas board members who just sat there meeting after meeting, rarely ever asking a question or making a comment or offering a thought, meeting after meeting, month after month. Last September, I asked each of our board members to visit with me about the upcoming vote, to ask them about their thinking. What were they thinking about this issue? At those meetings with me, three of our board members told me that they didn't really have to think much about the decision, that the DART staff was so smart they just did what the staff told them to do. So I guess that's why I never heard any questions from them at the board meetings. Two other board members told me that our council had provided no input to our delegation about the upcoming vote and that if we gave them some guidance, they would support our direction. So some of us crafted a resolution that received unanimous support from this council. We sent it over to DART where it was promptly ignored, including by the, by the two board members who said they'd support it. I see today as our opportunity to start to provide new leadership on the board. As part of our nominations process that's going on right now, we can put strong new members on the board, members who will do their homework, who will ask tough questions and follow up to make sure the information they're given is complete. We currently have several very able board members, but we need more. The suburban cities put on former mayors, former council members, former chairs of regional boards. We've put on people who just sit there. Let's change that, starting with this vote. I have nothing personal against Mr. Carrizales. He's a very nice man. We just need stronger leadership, especially from our next DART board chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold.
Yes. Thank you. I wanted to follow up on that. And my goal, of course, if I'm able to do that in the time that remains on my service, is that I continue to push for the selection of those individuals who will speak for and be a strong advocate for the underserved communities, the overlooked communities, the senior citizens in our communities. So I'm very, very much connected with the message that Councilwoman Grayson has given. I have also, and just wanted to touch on this because they're here and I worked on this case, with the Fiji Senior Villas here, we have representation because just last week we dealt with this very issue of the lack of service to a senior citizen community. Many of those individuals, the topics that we addressed was the fact that they almost get killed trying to cross the street to the bus There's no safe shelter when they're trying to wait for the bus, and the lack of efficiency in terms of service to those destinations that they seek to travel. So it is my desire to be an advocate for those individuals who are not afraid to speak on that dartboard, and that they become not bound and gagged, but definitely take on the initiative that we have sent them there for, which is to speak for those who need the service. So I do want to thank Mr. Thomas for coming out and working, but now that I'm gone, I want you all to make sure you understand we've started this work, and you've got to continue to be an advocate, and being an advocate coming here today for members on the DART board is the perfect way to start. So I do support putting people on the board who are not bought, paid for it, bound, and gagged. Thank you.
Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I'm going to be candid with my colleagues. I'm a bit ambivalent about this because I'm not on the transportation board. I will say that Mr. Carrizales has really never reached out to me. I think the first time I even met him was at the transportation committee meeting Monday afternoon. So I would think that if somebody's going to represent us, they need to reach out and keep us informed as to the things that are most important to our city. So that does cause me pause. There are some things that do bother me about this action. He's got 16 more months to go. In due course, we could replace him. It does also bother me that he is a Southern Dallas Hispanic voice, and I want to make sure that we have an active voice. Also, he is, I think, next to be in line as chair. He's vice chair now, so it's just because we remove him does not mean that we're going to have a chairman position. We may give that chairmanship over to our northern partners. So I'm not sure exactly how that process goes. So those are things that cause me pause. Again, I don't really know the man. I do think we need stronger advocational leadership, and I don't think that we've necessarily had that by some of the people that have represented us. I do see that, just as Ms. Grayson very eloquently illustrated, there's most of these other dartboard people. They're former mayors, council people, elected officials, people in the know that's got a great deal of experience. A lot of the people that we have is more OJT, and we're not really in a position in Dallas right now to have on-the-job training. On-the-job training. So we definitely need to have somebody that can hit the ground running. And I'm going to be clear. I'm going to make some nominations. I've been clear before that Pleasant Grove has never had a representative, and I want to find somebody that can represent Southeast Dallas. There's a vacuum there, so I've got a couple of ideas about who might do that at this time. This is a perfect time, I think, to be able to do that. So I hope that you will give great consideration to those people that I nominate. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Carrizales had reached out to me, and I told him the same thing that I'll tell you guys today. You know, with the DART board, just because of the fact that you want to be chair doesn't make you the right choice. The reality of it is we are the single biggest contributor to DART, and we are the ones that pay the biggest freight, but we're about to raise rates on our most vulnerable citizens from $2.50 per fare to $3. And the fact that anybody who's on our DART board, the fact that they would be so tone deaf as to think that's acceptable, if there's never any accountability, there's never any look at the metrics of why we're doing the things that we're doing, that hurts the city of Dallas. And I would encourage us, as Mr. Callahan said, that we need folks who ride the DART and who are urban planners and who are people who get it. And whether that's former mayors or city council people or anybody else, it is not an indictment on him, but I do think it is a vote to go into a different direction of how we run our contribution to DART. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. McGew.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I mean, the first thing I want to say is thank you to Mr. Carvalhas for his service. This is service on these boards takes a lot of time, a lot of energy. He's put a lot of years into it. But I have to echo the comments of my colleagues. Public transportation is crucial to this city. And we need to focus on a high-frequency bus system that gets people who need to get there where they need to go. And I just don't believe this board has done so up to this point. And so I'll be supporting this. I appreciate your leadership on this, Ms. Grayson. But I don't want it to go without being said how hard it is to get good quality people, as Mr. Clayton discussed, that are willing to put in the time, energy, and effort into this service role. And so those of you that are interested out there, please continue to work with us and contact us, because this is a huge need for our city. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
I just wanted to mention to Mr. Callahan, Rick, Mr. Carrizales lives in District 10. He's not a Southern District representative. I also wanted to talk, I also wanted to talk a little bit about the chairmanship. We are not going to lose the chairmanship if we take off a vice chair. Two times in the past, Dallas has taken off a vice chair, and we have not lost the chairmanship. The DART board will vote to put on a new person to be the Dallas chair, and I would hope our delegation would support that person so that we would continue to have a Dallas chair in the coming term. It has been tradition at Dallas, it's not a policy, but it's a practice, that the chairmanship rotate between the suburbs and Dallas. So the last 2 years have had a suburban chair. I would very much assume, I guess you should never assume, but I would hope that our Dallas delegation would push hard and vote to have a Dallas chair, and a strong chair, and one who will give great leadership. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mayor. Again, I just want to kind of echo a sentiment that I had at a transportation meeting, talking about the importance of reliable transportation in the city. I just want to know, where was this outcry years ago as we've had to endure bus service, lack of bus service. Trying to figure out why all of a sudden now. I remember back when I was a little lad, having to, much like Ms. Birch, ride the same route to go to school and to go to work in North Dallas. That commitment, and I do recall several times when I first brought up the idea that we started talking about what DART was and public transportation, how it was below standards, and I brought up the idea of, why are we blaming DART for us not giving them direction on what they should do? And I mentioned coming up with a comprehensive transportation plan. And much to my chagrin, I was kind of scoffed at bringing up that idea, but all of a sudden now it's a priority, and all of a sudden we want to do it now. I may have just been ahead of the curve, if you will, on that one, but I just find it interesting that we've endured, unfortunately, had to do with not having bus shelters, fighting for bus shelters, where we have children and senior citizens having to wait out in the weather, and all of a sudden now it's a priority. So I just find it coincidental that that's the case. So I just wanted to throw that in a continuation from what was talked about earlier this week. So thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Arnold?
Once again, just a quick follow-up, and Mayor and Council, I also wanted to mention the fact that with the Fiji family coming here this morning because of the issue of DART, this is their first meeting, and I hope that you all will continue, and that's what we need in terms of community. But just so that I know that this time is winding down, want to also thank those board members who've given of their service. But as we, as leaders, interact more and engage our communities more, we find that there are some gaps that exist, so we must be stronger advocates for those individuals who will speak to those gaps. So being one of those individuals who will continue to speak for the gaps of the seniors and the underserved, as stated earlier, thank all of those folks once again, but understanding that we need people who are, and this is no indictment on anyone that's not on the board or being taken off the board, but it's just the priorities in terms of transportation needs for those communities. And you know, before I leave this horseshoe, I have to mention this because it's been ridiculed quite a bit. As we spend our valuable dollars from the city on projects of transportation, I've seen quite a few that don't speak to the priorities and needs, and you all know I have to go back to the trolley at this point, as it relates to that Zane, Colorado leg, where you don't have but two or three people riding, but we're giving thousands of dollars, and I'm going to encourage you all to research that amount. I've been ridiculed by D Magazine and some of these, I think, up here in with the Dallas Morning News individuals who make light of it. But you all need to understand that we are invested in a transportation project where the passengers don't have to pay to ride. They don't have to pay. And so getting that information out to the community is so very important. And I'm going to encourage you all to keep looking at it because they continue to try to make light of it with me because it's a joke. But it's not a joke to me when we spend, it's a 900-something thousand dollars. Come here for a minute. Who's here can verify that on the record? How much are we spending to that trolley? Thank you, Ms. Brooks, because I want the constituents to know. You all need to know. How much are we giving for the trolley?
Operation and maintenance, we're spending $975,000 a year.
$975,000. Those patrons don't pay. And so we have to fight for the shelters for the seniors on Corinth. We have to fight to get bus service so they can get to and from the store in the 2.5-hour period of time. So you want to fight for those dollars, and you want to fight for board members who will fight for equity in transportation, equity in service, but people have got to be a priority. So as we continue to push, and I will continue to push from outside, but just know it's a joke to some folks when I bring it up. But just sit there, as I've told them, at El Phoenix, and you'll see for yourself that leg itself, very expensive. So want to make sure I put that on the record and make sure that I also underscore the fact that as the media keep making a joke about it, it's not funny when you have senior citizens who want just the same opportunity of quality of life, and we have to fight so hard to get it. So I want to make sure you know that after I'm gone that you all will continue to fight and we will engage the community from the outside to make sure that you get what you are entitled to. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also want to say thank you to Richard Carrizales. I was one of the nominees who nominated him. And I also wanted to ask Mr. Mayor for a record vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Record vote.
Let's
all vote.
Please cast your vote. Twelve have voted. 14. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Medrano, McGue, Arnold, Gates, Clayton, Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, and Young. Voting against, Council Member Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, Council Member Kleiman, Mayor Rawlings, and Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. That is it for this morning, right?
Yes, sir.
We will now go into executive session. If everybody could go immediately back here, we'll get this work done. And then we've got a birthday today, but we're going to have a mid-afternoon snack as opposed to a lunch snack, so we'll do it later, okay? It is 10:12 a.m. on May 10th, 2017. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on the following matters described in today's agenda: legal issues related to the Dallas Police and Fire System, and Kenneth E. Albert et al., City of Dallas, Anthony Arredondo et al., v. City of Dallas, David L. Barber et al., v. City of Dallas, David S. Martin et al., City of Dallas, George Parker et al., City of Dallas, and Kevin Michael Willis et al., City of Dallas. We'll start at 10:20. 10:20. Good morning. Good afternoon. It is the City Council has completed its closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, and at 1 p.m. on May 10th, 2017, we return to open session. Thank you, and we will take up addendum item number one from this morning. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Addendum item number one is a resolution supporting a permanent fix to the Dallas Police and Fire Pension System by announcing the city's support of House Bill 3158 only if it is not an unfunded mandate, addresses the city's public safety needs, and creates a new governance system that provides adequate taxpayer control and oversight.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I've been asked by the city attorney to pull this off, so I'll make a motion to postpone this item indefinitely.
I second it.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Next item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo would like to be recognized on agenda item number 29.
Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to defer the zoning change until May 24th, 2017, please.
Motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Thank
Motion
you,
is carried.
Thank you. Councilmember Medrano would like to be recognized on agenda item number 42.
Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to defer this item until May 24, 2017, City Council meeting.
That was 42?
42.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Councilmember Young would like to be recognized on agenda item number 44.
Ms. Young.
I would like to make a motion to defer agenda item 44 until the June 14th council meeting at the request of the Habitat.
We have a motion and a second for item number 44. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now to your consent agenda, which consisted of agenda items number 29 through 38. Agenda item 29 was just deferred. Agenda item 30 is pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Kingston. Agenda item 31 will require three-quarters vote. And agenda item 32 is pulled for individual consideration by by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson. Therefore, remaining on the consent agenda are agenda items number 31, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, and 38. Those items will be read into the record collectively, after which speakers will be called, and then council will take a vote on the items. Agenda item number 31 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to an expansion of specific use permit number 1496 for an open enrollment charter school on property on the southeast corner of Exchange Service Drive and Joseph Hardin Drive, and on the west side of Joseph Hardin Drive between Country Creek Drive and the terminus of Exchange Service Drive. Agenda item number 33 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MF1A multifamily district on property on the west side of Bonneview Road, south of East 11th Street. Agenda item 35 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District number 703 for R-7.5A single-family district uses and a public school other than an open enrollment charter school in an area bounded by Hillcrest Road, Lakehurst Avenue, Airline Road, and Aberdeen Avenue. Agenda item 36 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the creation of a new sub-area within Plan Development District number 899 on the northeast corner of Royal Lane and Grissom Lane. Agenda item 37 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District number 721 for R-7.5A single-family district uses and a public school other than an open enrollment charter school in an area bounded by Chariot Drive, Berridge Lane, and St. Francis Avenue and Trace Road. Agenda item 38 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District number 748 to allow changes to front yard setbacks for Track 2 on the northwest and northeast corner of Medical District Drive and Southwestern Medical Avenue. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor. Excuse me, Mr. Mayor?
Yes. Ms. Rios?
I was just informed that...
I just need a motion to separate.
Okay.
Item 35, please.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Motion is carried. Anybody opposed? Motion is carried. So all items that was read in except for item 35. I'll take that motion again, Mr. Kingston. Okay. And do we have a second? Thank you. Motion is second. Any discussion? Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I just had a question on 31. Why does that require 3/4 of a vote? We don't usually. On 31. I mean, I'm sure there's some technical. I mean, it's a school, but it passed CPC and it. And it
CPC had recommended approval of the case. There was 20% opposition officially registered. However, it appears there was an affidavit that was submitted to change the reply form that came in prior to CPC that was opposed, amended that to be in favor of the case, but it only affected one of the properties. So that the Air Force Army Exchange owns 3 or 4 parcels in that area, and they failed to turn in affidavits on each of those parcels. But they did turn in one, and it was represented at the City Plan Commission meeting that their issues had been resolved. So the 3/4 vote was triggered by the 20% opposition.
Okay, but that's – so but, we can when that happens, when you have a 3/4 vote because of opposition, it still can go on consent. That doesn't pull it off consent?
If there's reason to pull it off, it's removed from consent. In this instance, I think since we had the affidavit in support, even though technically when we were counting the ballots, we had to count it that way.
Is this in your district, Mr. Casey?
Yes.
Okay, and you're fine. Obviously, you're fine with it. Okay. All right. I just that was
it was a unique situation.
To see on there. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Take item 35. We've already read it in the record. So.
All right. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission with the following changes. The reference to the expansion area in the landscaping section is removed and provision of a revised development plan showing the swing space area.
The motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We move now to agenda item number 30, a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development subdistrict for GR General Retail Subdistrict uses and hotel use by right on property on the south corner of Fairmount Street and Carlisle Street.
Thank you. Excuse me.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 85 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 6 reply in favor of the request and 4 replies in opposition to the request.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson.
39?
30. My apologies. I thought we said.
Councilmember Kingston, pull the item.
I apologize, Mr. Kingston. It's your
thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Your thing. Sorry.
That's okay. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the CPC with the following changes: accessory uses in conjunction with a hotel or motel use, including but not limited to conference rooms, meeting spaces, and event spaces, a swimming pool, a bar, lounge, or tavern, a fitness facility, a gift shop, a coffee shop, or cafe, may exceed the 5% requirement, and hotel and motel uses and any associated accessory uses may charge for the required off-street parking.
We have a second. We have a second. Thank you. Any discussion?
Just real briefly, Mr. Mayor, this is another Alamo Manhattan development, and it's going to bring a business travel regular old Marriott to Uptown and the Cedar Springs area, and that's, I think, going to be something that is – we have people all the time trying to stay close to business destinations in those neighborhoods, and I think this one is going to substantially benefit the neighborhood without really causing any detriment to the residents there.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Agenda item number 32 is a public hearing and a resolution accepting an amendment to the existing deed restrictions on property on the northwest corner of LBJ Freeway and Cedar Ranch Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 37 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor of the request and five replies in opposition to the request.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson, now.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to make the applicant here.
Paul Sewell for the applicant.
Thank you. Mayor, I move to approve the amendment of deed restrictions as recommended by the City Plan Commission, including the changes volunteered at the horseshoe by the applicant, and that is simply the elimination of Section 3, which is a maximum of one alcoholic beverage establishment or restaurant use is allowed on the property, and is limited to a maximum of 6,000 square feet floor area. You agree to that?
Yes.
Okay. The motion is second. Any discussion? Mr. Wilson.
That was just the only concern. The residents was concerned about the potential for this place being used for alcoholic uses, so that was the reason for the no's. Thank you.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you.
Well, we move now to agenda item number 39, a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a tower antenna for cellular communication on property on the south side of CF Hahn Freeway, southeast of South Beltline Road. Sir, one moment, please. Wait. One
moment. Mr. Mayor, we sent 20 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received three reply in favor of the request and one reply in opposition to the request.
Thank you. We do have one registered speaker, after which the remaining public will be allowed to speak if they desire. And our speaker is Yung Kwan. Mr. Kwan, you do have 3 minutes.
Yes, my name is Kwan.
Sir, could you speak in the microphone? Sir? There we go. Right, just in the microphone. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. My name is Kwan. I got this letter last Wednesday, and I have no idea why you send this kind of letter 1 week before. And poor cell phone company last 2 years called me. They wanted to lease my land permanently, but I declined they contacted me by phone and by letter, but I declined their request because this is too close from residential area, like apartment. There is an apartment just beside where they wanted to build a cell phone tower. And if I lease this land, my land to them, my property value is dropped. The money, I love money too, but the money they wanted to pay me is just too little. If I accept their offer, my land value is dropped down. That is why I declined their offer. And I have a cell phone here. This is T-Mobile, but I don't have any problem with internet and talk with the other people in that area. And AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint is much better than this, much faster internet. And I have no idea why they need a cell phone tower right there. Usually most country ban cell phone tower from 300 meters from like a hospital, like a school, like a residential area. but this is too close from residential area, like an apartment and a house. So I don't want to cell phone tower right there. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No, we have an individual coming forward. Sir, you're allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings.
Sure. My name is Dave Kirk. I'm representing the applicant on this case. wasn't aware of the acquisition portion of this process, but we do normally contact a lot of property owners in an area. If a property owner is not interested in doing a deal with us, we continue to look for another location where someone is willing to negotiate a lease with us, that we could, of course, bring a zoning case before the city for approval. So that's how we ended up at this particular location. It is ultimately going to be the first carrier will be T-Mobile. I'm not sure, of the details related to how well his phone works, but T-Mobile's engineers have determined that they do have a need in this area, and that's why they've asked us to find a location for them. So if you have any questions, I can answer those for you.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson.
Yes, Mayor. Can I have staff come up?
Yes, sir.
Can we check with Mr. Collins, see if that is the planning and zoning notification or if that's the council zoning, because I find it difficult. He's behind you.
There's both one for city council and one for the CPC. Okay. He's got both for platforms with him.
And I through his testimony, he said that he was not in agreement with what was proposed for his leasing of his property. So is that?
I think he owns an adjacent piece of property and indicated he had concerns, is what I think I understood him to say. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Well, we're going to end up delaying this. Okay. So, Mayor,
yes.
I have to make a motion to defer this item to the next voting agenda.
A motion and second to defer. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 40 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a bail bonds office on property on the west side of South Riverfront Boulevard and north of Bessemer Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 4 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 0 replies in favor of the request and 0 replies in opposition to the request.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Alonzo. Do we have a second? Motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement applies to agenda item number 41. By making and seconding the motion, the council member represents that they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, for adoption, the item would require 2 seconds. Item 41 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Phase 1 within Plan Development District Number 114 on the northeast corner of Beltline Road and Prestonwood Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 25 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 1 reply in favor of the request and 0 replies in opposition to the request.
Thank you. Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? We need another second. Mr. Clayton?
Thank you.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 43 is a public hearing regarding the application for and approval of the fill permit and removal of the floodplain FP prefix from approximately 5.9 acres of the current 14.7 acres of land located at 5800 Keller Springs within the floodplain of White Rock Creek, fill permit 15-05. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on item 43? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman.
Motion to approve.
Do we have a second? Okay, motion and second. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes the item.
Okay, I think Ms. Alonzo has a presentation.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find out where it is. It's somewhere here. It's hidden.
Well, let's make it be a hunt.
Well, I don't know if y'all know, but it's Mr. Kleinman's birthday, and so we're celebrating a birthday. Mr. Kleinman, I'm sorry. I think that it was coming in a turtle, so it's getting here. So,
if it's cake, you can just put the whole thing in my office.
I know it's
no,
right
no.
Here.
We keep it back here. There it is.
No,
there.
I will eat it.
See, we went from the turtle to the jackrabbit, so... I want to wish you a happy birthday, Mr. Kleinman. And so if you all would please join me in singing happy birthday to Mr. Kleinman in Spanish.
Yeah.
That's not, I'm just kidding. You ready?
Yep. You lead us.
One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. Kleinman. Happy birthday to you.
That was the best song. She gets to lead all the songs from now on. That was actually a pitch.
You know, Mr. Mayor, I practiced earlier today because I was singing to my seniors, and so they kind of helped me lead the path.
With that, the meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Adjourn at 1:24.